from Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan. He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Good morning, Canada and Canadian sports fans around the world. This is a little show that we do, Canada's morning sports talk show, Leaving Harbour here on episode 218, number 218. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. How are you, Dupes?
I'm doing amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm doing really amazing, too. And I got to say that this is a show today that I'm very much looking forward to. And it almost makes me forget that there's a pandemic at all, that there's any kind of a crisis. That's how excited I am for today's show.
Yep.
We got some big guests today that I'm looking forward to. Of course, the National Football League draft opens tomorrow. Well, obviously, it's going to be reflected in our quick six show topics. Rob Gronkowski to Tampa Bay, the Patriots, all of that. And our NFL insider, Tori Gurley, is going to be with us. Browns, Packers alum, a former CFL or two. Tori Gurley will be with us and talk a little bit about the CFL draft. All of that. I'm so excited to have Tori Gurley with us. Todd Lombard, the president and co-owner of the Regina Pats, former Pats goalie, is going to be with us today. The WHL draft is just started, as Clark has pointed out to me. But we don't need to worry because the Pats already signed the number one kid, Connor Bedard. That's coming up. Lumbee will join us to talk about that and what it means to the future of this team and for junior hockey overall in southern Saskatchewan. Three Down Nation's John Hodge will join us. He'll be making the Rod Peterson Show debut for him.
Yep.
Where's that noise coming from? Because it's annoying me. And James Myrtle will be joining us from The Athletic, senior writer with The Athletic, to talk some NHL, because that is in our quick six show topics as well. You good?
Yeah, great.
Okay. So to the quick six show topics that we're going to get to today, I'm going to run through them real quick and then we'll circle back. Number one, Rob Gronkowski to Tampa Bay. It's official, pending a physical, which he hasn't done anything for a year, so I'm sure he's fine. Gronk to Tampa Bay. Two, the Patriots have come under fire. Why does Brady want out? Why did Gronk want out? Why did Aaron Hernandez hang himself in a jail cell? What is going on in New England? So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's a win-win for me wearing this Pats jacket today because the Pats, of course, have the number one overall pick in the WHL draft. I'm proud alum. And also, every time I go to the States and wear a jacket like this, they all think it's a Patriots. It's like a third jersey or something, or yep, a special occasion uniform. So that's cool.
They like the logo.
Double entendre there. The Pats and the Pats. Point three, as mentioned, the Regina Pats signing Connor Bedard. What are the expectations for this kid? He told a conference call yesterday that he dreamt of playing for the Regina Pats. So we already have something in common, Connor Bedard and I.
There you go.
Point four, saw this morning. The National Hockey League's considering moving up the draft to accommodate the conclusion of the season. If that isn't the best news you're going to get, I don't know what is.
Right.
Point five, the BC Lions signing kicker Sergio Castillo a day after the Ottawa Red Blacks signing Jalen Saunders. I'm wondering, is this a player's market in the CFL? Because I think it is right now. And I'll tell you why. And point six, which leads to our poll question today. The Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, the Junior A Loop, has made an announcement last night. They're continuing their playoffs, and they're going to do it on a computer simulation. For those of you that don't understand, you'll never understand. For those of you that do understand, they're doing it on PlayStation 4. It's not going to be guys playing video games against each other. It's two computers against each other. And may the best computer win, I guess. They're picking up the playoffs right where they left off, which was late in round one. And they're doing it all the way to the end to hand out the Kanelta Cup, which last year you and I broadcast on SaskTelmax television.
Unbelievable. And they put some work into this, going through all of the stats, talking to coaches, talking to scouts, talking to league officials to rate every player. They've had to create every SJHL player with the team logos and everything else and put them in the game. So they've done some work to make this as accurate as possible, and now we'll let the simulation take over.
There's a kid in the SJHL office. They call him Moneyball. I don't even know his real name. His nickname's Moneyball because he's big into stats and analytics. He says that I changed his life, by the way, because he came in here and sat on the sponsor's couch one day, and I said, kid, lose the white socks with this suit. Don't ever do that again. Now he wears dress socks every day. Changed his life, he
said. Sage advice.
Saved his life.
Yeah.
Anyways, he spent 80 hours, the league told me, putting every player into the computers. Every single player. So it's our poll question today. They're going to hand out the league championship, the Kanelta Cup, based on this computer simulation. All the Board of Governors approved it. They had a vote. I can't imagine it was unanimous, but the ayes had it. They're handing out the trophy based on a playoff simulation. Is it right? Thanks for putting that up, fellas. Daily poll for Capital Auto Mall at Universal Collision Center. Is it right for the SJHL to award the Kanelta Cup off of a PS4 simulation? 92% say no. And the SJHL's watching, and they write in and say, thanks for the love, boys. Looking forward to seeing everyone on the stream, which Darren and I are going to be a part of, and other SJHL broadcasters. I would have voted too. Yeah. I would have voted no too as a traditionalist. But I'm also not closed-minded. I used to be. I'm not anymore. So the SJHL called me. We had a long conversation. They said, hey, listen, I don't think they mind me saying this. They make their money in the playoffs as a junior hockey league. They said, we have no playoffs. We're dying here. We got to do something. We've got sponsors. SGI. What'd they say? Kanelta Cup. SGI. It's all on their post to their sponsors are. We're going to do something here. We think it's going to be fun.
It is.
And most of the leagues on board, the ones that wouldn't would be who? The staunchy old codgers.
Yeah.
So when they said that, now, here's my caveat. If you'll just put a asterisk beside the championship teams and just say, hey, in 2020, the spit hit the fan. The fit hit the shan. So this is why. Then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
They had to sell me on it. They did.
And I think it's exciting. I think it's going to be fun. You don't mean to tell me that when the Battlefords plays Flin Flon, that those communities won't be watching this? They'll be watching.
Of course they will be.
It's bragging rights. But they're not going to be hanging a banner for it. I mean, yeah, they're going to maybe...
How do you know?
They're going to hand out...
If you're the winning team, you might.
They're going to hand out the cup, and you're going to get to keep it for a year. And maybe they'll engrave the name on the cup with a little asterisk, maybe. But they're not going to hang a banner in and celebrate my sixth, you know, Kanelta Cup championships as a franchise. Yeah, but that one was a video game. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to still hand something out, have some bragging rights. It's going to be fun.
So Ryland Betker writes in, he says, if you can't have the players battle it out on the ice for the cup, then don't even award it. Using a sim is a gut punch to the players. I don't know. Ask the players. Like anything, some will probably be for it, some will be against it. Brent Reiber writes in and says, I don't agree with the simulation, but it would be amazing to bet on. So, listen, we're all going to have our opinions. Over 90% of you do and say, no, this isn't right. Hopefully we've sold you on why they're doing it. It's for fun. It's to appease the sponsors. It's to get people talking in an otherwise blah time. And they sold me on it.
Yeah.
So that poll will be up for the next 23 hours or so. You can vote on that. Everybody's writing in on my Sox advice to Moneyball. The kid, Moneyball.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, the kid says, I changed his life. Thanks me so much for telling him to stop wearing white socks with a suit. Is it that abnormal?
With the suit and the dress shoes.
Just don't do it.
No. Not good.
People are saying that maybe you could take my advice. Wear dress socks with your sandals. I don't know. What's with that? I, by the way, don't have a problem. That's maybe it's a Saskatchewan thing. Maybe it is a athlete thing. But the socks and sandals, I don't have a problem with
it. Socks and sandals is the athlete thing, yeah. That's the athlete thing.
Our intern, Alan Lee, is watching. He says, I hope this does not set precedents. Definitely sounds interesting. Are you talking about white socks with a suit or simulation? What are we talking about here? Because we got a few topics up on the screen. Breaking news, by the way, the WHL draft is underway. I appreciate that people probably have two computers open. Maybe their phone, they're watching us, they're following the draft. But let's tone it down with WHL draft talk. Tom Geiger writes in from Kindersley. He says, Prince George picks Saskatoon's Riley Height second overall. You'll hear his name lots. Really good player. Almost got exceptional status. So we've decided we will announce the SAS teams. Clark, didn't we say?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do? So I appreciate that. John Kirby in Edmonton. You'll get lots of draft talk. Sorry. You don't got to apologize for anything. Hey, we're all having fun here. We're all having coffee. And that's why I said we got stuff to talk about where you wouldn't even realize there was a pandemic. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
So to point one, way back here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, and they are open, by the way, taking orders. and I think it's by appointment only over there at Flooring Superstore. Rob Gronkowski to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's just start with that. They as of 2 days ago, were the 22nd highest favorite in Vegas to win the Super Bowl. They've moved to fifth based on just signing Gronk.
Wow. Wow.
And you called this? I mean, there was some talk of this.
Yeah, no, it wasn't mainstream.
After Brady went to Tampa.
Yeah, after Brady went, it wasn't mainstream. So to say I called it, I mean, we were the first ones talking about it around here and in terms of mainstream. But I think Bleacher Report had one small report that I saw. And that's how I reported it on here, was just this rumor's got some legs that Rob Gronkowski is interested in coming out of retirement to play with Tom again in Tampa. And sure enough, they had it. And Tom's Instagram was an old video of him and Gronk. And it was Tom rolling down, and then he peeks in. Oh, there's Gronk, and they're both shrugging their shoulders and laughing. I'm pretty sure it was an old video he reposted of him and Gronk. So it's fun. It looks like they want to have a good time. And then you see the meme pictures of the two guys out on the street with Tom, Gronk.
Old people.
And guy peering through the blinds, Edelman, right? He's missing out. He's stuck in New England. And then they also, there's been so much that's come out of this. Gronk didn't retire. He retired. He just quit the Patriots. And so you talked about that off the top.
Well, that's my next point. We'll get to that.
What's happening. But forget about that. Bill Belichick took a retired player and traded him for a fourth round pick. So
he wins, which reminds me. Hey, yeah. More breaking news, by the way. The Moose Jaw Warriors Hockey Club with a third overall selection, which is only the second time in franchise history they've picked that high, taking Braden Jaeger with the number 3 overall pick. So we got a lot of balls in the air here. Kevin Diaco writes in from Saskatoon. He's the guy that gave me these championship rings wherever they are.
Far
somebody
side.
Steal them?
Nope. You just see them in the edge of the shot.
He says Gronk will complement Tampa Bay's top receivers. Godwin and Evans will be a nice piece to the puzzle as long as he can hold up. So the funny thing about the Bucs, a lot of Buccaneers fans coming out of the woodwork. People that I didn't know were Buccaneers fans. I'm not even sure they were Buccaneers fans. You know what I mean? I can name them if you want. Derek Ryan, the general manager of CTV. He's at least, well, even when the Bucs were crappy, he admitted that they were Buccaneers. He was a Bucs fan. So that's, I'm with that. But I don't know enough about the Buccaneers receivers group. I'm not a fantasy football guy. You would know far more than me because of fantasy football and you play it. I know this. The Buccaneers haven't made the playoffs since the Bush administration. They've been one of the worst teams in the National Football League for over a decade. I'm kind of excited with getting back into the NFL because for 20 seasons working as the voice of the Rough Riders, I did not have my head in anything other. I didn't even have it in hockey, which I would have loved to be. You can't. When you're the voice of the Riders in this market, you need to know everything that's going on with that team. You don't have time, at least I didn't, for anything else in my cranium, for anything but green and white. So now, it's kind of exciting at my advanced age to learn things and branch out. And, hey, tell me more about the Buccaneers receivers group. What are the Dallas Cowboys needs going into the draft tomorrow night? You know? Stuff I just never had time to sit back and read. I'm having the time of my life learning. It's not to say the CFL is going away, though. Because John in Edmonton wrote in and said, what do you think about the commissioner saying they're talking about an 8-game schedule beginning at Labor Day in the CFL? I don't know where those comments were from the commissioner. I've heard the same thing. I think on Monday I came out on the program here and said that I'd heard what the options were. That was one. But I wasn't at liberty to say because I thought if the CFL wanted that out, they would put it out themselves.
Yep.
And maybe the commissioner has said that. Where are those comments from, John? Because that's what I'm hearing, too. I'm of the belief there will be a Grey Cup in Regina on schedule. I am of the belief there will be a CFL season, whether it's shortened, whether it's full. So it's not like I've completely forgot about the CFL, but I'm learning other new things, and that's fun. So back to the Patriots. Point two, the Patriots culture. They were just getting hammered on this morning on ESPN's Get Up by the analysts about all the guys wanting out of there. That's what I love about the show. They went live to New England and brought on their reporter in New England, their Patriots reporter, Mike Reese. And they said, what's going on? Why does everybody hate playing in New England for Bill Belichick? And the reporter in New England said, because he's hard to play for. He's admitted that he's hard to play for. That's not new. What did Paul Coffey say? He said one time when we were together, he goes, listen, why do you play sports? Fun? If you want fun, go to Mexico. You play sports to win.
To win. Winning's fun.
Yeah, winning is right. It's not fun climbing the mountain. It's fun once you get to the top of the mountain. So, listen, Belichick's got anything to apologize for today? He'll spin around in his chair and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Vince Lombardi trophies over his shoulder. He don't give a rat's ass what those players think.
No.
If they weren't having fun.
And you wonder why it's all coming about now and now starting to go. Brady and Edelman and Gronk, and they didn't seem to have a problem when they were winning Super Bowls.
Right.
Now, yeah, okay, Bill Belichick can be hard to play for. I get that. But a lot of this, I think, is the culture of Tom Brady. If you've seen anything, whether it's the documentaries or the social media or any of these things, Tom Brady has a culture all to himself.
A brand.
It's part of his personal brand. And when they're winning, I think a lot of players can enjoy the Tom Brady culture. And it can be a little bit of balance to the Bill Belichick culture. Brady, Edelman, you know, Hogan, these guys were working out together in the offseason. So you get that Brady culture. He holds you accountable. But he does it in a way where he's your teammate, not your coach. Now he's gone. There is none of that other side of the culture. There is no balance. And all you've got is the coach. And everyone's like, oh boy, I don't want to be here now. It's just like in any good hockey club, the assistant coach is often dubbed the player's coach, right? He balances out the hard-ass head coach who really demands stuff from you. Somebody you can lean on, make you feel better, soften the blow, you know, somebody you want to play for. But when he's gone, now you just got the dictator. It's not a fun place to be. So I think Tom Brady's culture is gone, and now the players aren't interested as much. Someone's got to fill that void.
Well, it's pretty simple when you look at it. All those players saying that they're not over time weren't having fun anymore. And Aaron Hernandez, totally different story, obviously. Him taking his own life had nothing to do, I don't think, with football, obviously. Yeah. But I will say this. I mean, in my other career, and I don't know why that I've got players and coaches and broadcasters calling me. I don't know why. I never asked for that. I don't even know where they get my number. But they do. And I talk to them, and usually they're complaining about their lot in life. They're complaining about their ice time. They're complaining about their coach. They're complaining about whatever. And I always say, are you having fun? Yeah. Call me when you're not having fun. This is about having fun. Yeah. When the day comes that you're no longer having fun, then that's another conversation. And I can help you with that. But as long as you're having fun, keep chopping wood. You know?
Yeah.
And that's part of what I do, and I love it. By the way, John and Edmonton wrote in where the comment was from the 8-game schedule for the CFL.
Yep.
I didn't read the article. It's Terry Jones wrote it, the Hall of Fame columnist of the Edmonton Sun. We were talking about Jonesy yesterday, remember?
Yep.
As far as I know, this was Jonesy just spitballing that this is what the CFL should do. That's just based on the headline. I think the headline was CFL should consider 8-game season. I don't know that there was any quotes in that article from Commissioner Randy Ambrosi. Would you be surprised to know that that's one of the options? They've determined all these options from 18 games to 8 games to 0 games. Would it shock you to know that they might have looked at an 8-game?
Of course not.
Of course not.
That's not
every
news.
League has looked at that.
Yeah.
So, again, not news there. John Heaps writes in and he says, get your clubs ready. Hopefully announcement tomorrow. Oh, that's regarding golf. Okay. Everybody's just sprinkling news around. Have you noticed? Everybody's starting to come out of the funk.
Oh, yeah. And that's coming this week. And I thought maybe it might even be today, but maybe, according to John, it might be tomorrow that the premier is going to announce his plan to slowly start to reopen the province. Mm-hmm. What businesses will be next?
News. Who's on this? Tyler, our social media guy?
Yeah.
The Saskatoon Blades have selected, with the 5th overall pick, defenseman Tanner Mulladick. To your Saskatoon Blades. Cool?
Cool.
Do we have James Myrtle on the line? All right. I can't wait for this. We will have James Myrtle from The Athletic coming up next to talk some National Hockey League. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstar, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Canada's morning sports talk show continues after this break. Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Coming soon to Game Plus Network and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge. And we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Automall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. As the program continues, I just want to check the poll results again for those that jumped in late. Here's today's Capital Automall Universal Collision Center question. You can vote on Twitter or Facebook. Is it right for the SJHL to complete their playoffs on a PS4 simulation, a computer simulation? Last we saw on Facebook, over 90%. Yeah, still holding strong. 92% say it's not right for them, not to continue the playoffs, to hand out the trophy, because that's what they're going to do. Whoever wins on this computer simulation, they'll be engraving a plaque to go on the trophy. Discuss amongst yourselves. And you can write into any of our topics today on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. That is 840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer. So we got lots to get to today, including our NFL insider, Tory Gurley. But we're going out on a video chat today. James Myrtle joining us from The Athletic. And James, I appreciate you coming on today, my man. The NHL's been somewhat quiet, I think, the last couple weeks. And now there's starting to be a lot of optimism. What do you know as we're sitting here today?
Well, I mean, there's lots of optimism among people with the teams and with the league. And I mean, part of that is forced optimism. They kind of need to be optimistic. They need the season to come back. They need playoffs to happen. And, you know, everyone I ask about potentially not having playoff games all says we don't really want to think about that. We don't want to plan for that. And we don't want to talk about that until we have to. So, you know, a lot of what you're getting is from the NHLPA and from players themselves and from the league and from teams. Is there planning as if there's going to be playoff games? They're watching closely what Major League Baseball and the NFL and the NBA in particular are going to do. And I think what the NHL is going to do is they're going to follow suit with whatever the NBA decides to do.
Well, the report of them moving the draft up from late June to accommodate a July, August, I mean, they wouldn't be doing that, I wouldn't think, unless there was a reason, or is that just talk?
Well, I mean, they're optimistic there are going to be games, but then if you talk to people in hockey and in sports, they think there's going to be games this summer. There's going to be playoff games played this summer. If you talk to people in, you know, the medical community and people that know things about pandemic, they're much less certain that that's going to happen. So, you know, I think the key for the NHL is going to be getting the green light from various governments and various people who know what they're doing in terms of the medical community and the healthcare community. And that hasn't happened yet. You know, and the talk lately is that they're going to try and find some NHL markets where the pandemic hasn't really been that pronounced. I saw Elliot Friedman reported yesterday that maybe it's Minnesota, Edmonton, some places where it hasn't made a huge impact, and that potentially they can move all of the players from every division into a certain market and play their games there. That makes more sense to me than North Dakota, which isn't going to have enough room to house the entire NHL in terms of hotel rooms and logistics and all those things. But they're going to need some of these markets to not be hit by COVID-19 in order to make this a reality.
Athletic Canada Editor-in-Chief James Myrtle is with us. And by the way, let's talk a bit about The Athletic. I'm a subscriber, and I enjoy what you guys have been doing amid the pandemic. But maybe tell the people that aren't the challenges you faced and how you filled the time over the last month at The Athletic covering the NHL.
Yeah, if people don't know The Athletic, we're kind of the sports section taken out of the newspaper, and we're just the sports section, and we have 500 staff across North America and in the UK covering English Premier League soccer. So, you know, we cover everything. We cover college football, college basketball. We have a huge NHL staff. We have writers in every single market for the NHL. We have national writers like Pierre Lebrun. You know, we've tried to be really creative. Of late, what we've been telling our writers is, act like it's the off season, because, you know, if we were on schedule right now, a lot of our teams would be in the off season, and we'd be doing things like looking at draft previews, looking at free agency. We're looking at what the financial reality appears to be for teams if the salary cap doesn't go up, which is what looks like is going to happen next year. There's still a lot of topics for us to cover and write about. And I think there's going to be even more if, as you said, they schedule the draft for late June. And if they play games in July and August, you know, that'll be good for all of us in the sports world if we have some real things to talk about here in the near future.
James, one of the things that, does it have any legs right now? I'm hearing about the guys in Sweden getting to be on the ice, and it's causing a bit of a stir with some players back here who aren't allowed on the ice, you know, unless they're rehabbing injuries and stuff. Where is that at today?
Well, Sweden's kind of taken a different approach to, like, they really haven't locked things down in that country to the same extent as most of the rest of the world. So there's a lot of things people are being allowed to do. And if you look at the prevalence of people getting sick and deaths in Europe, Sweden is outpacing a lot of other countries, especially around them, Norway, Finland. So I don't know if they're going to be able to maintain this or what's going to happen. But, you know, put it this way, I mean, if the Swedish players are allowed to skate for, if the NHL's off for, let's say, 3.5 months, and the Swedish players are able to skate through that 3.5 months, and the players in North America aren't, that's quite an advantage that they're going to have, especially if the NHL has to jump right into playoff games. And, you know, that kind of integrity of the competition is what the NHL's worried about, and why they don't want to jump right into playoff games, why they want to have some regular season games or some exhibition games or have some kind of a mini training camp to get everyone up to speed. But, you know, you could just see if they come back and some of the Swedish players are Elias Pettersson or, you know, whoever starts tearing it up and they've been on the ice the whole time, that's definitely going to be a storyline.
James, from our producer, Clark, I'm going to read this verbatim. He says, James has been a fairly active video gamer recently. Asking him what he thinks about the SJHL awarding their league title over NHL 20. Did you hear our poll question just before we brought you on?
Yeah, that sounds terrible. I mean, that sounds like a terrible idea. I mean, one of the things the NHL talks about all the time is kind of the integrity of the Stanley Cup, the integrity of the Stanley Cup playoffs, of playing. They want to play as much of the full tournament as they can in order for that result to mean something. And if it's a video game simulation, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I've been playing mostly because the first 10 days or 2 weeks of the shutdown, I was like, holy cow, what am I supposed to fill all my time with? Because normally I've got one or two hockey games on a night. Normally I'm on an airplane or in a hotel room or in an arena, you know, almost every day of the week during the season. And for there not to be any hockey, not even like my beer league hockey games, it's like, I got to figure something out. So, you know, my wife came up the stairs the other day and I had a hockey jersey on and I was playing the video game. She's like, you miss hockey, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I just had to find some sort of outlet. And it's been fascinating that there are thousands of teams. There are people that make their entire living playing that video game. There's basically like a mini NHL and AHL and ECHL and junior hockey set up online for people to play on teams competitively. And it's been a real eye-opener for me just how seriously a lot of people take that game.
For sure. And with this, that's why I asked your opinion. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I would have voted no, that it's not right, but the league explained to me why they're doing it. It's a business decision. They got sponsors to appease, and I'm actually on board with it now. So, hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion. They're doing it, and I appreciate their balls for doing it. Now, moving forward, Clark was saying, and I knew you're a Western guy. Initially, James, I didn't know that you're a Kamloops guy. When we talk about when I say Kamloops Blazers, what does that conjure up to you if that's your hometown?
Well, I mean, I grew up, I'm 39 years old, so I was a kid during the glory years. We had season tickets to the team once they built the new arena in 92. The Camas Blazers, for me, were such a huge part of my life, and they're the reason why I work in hockey. They're the reason I moved to Toronto to go to journalism school to try and be a hockey writer. And they're, you know, when I, unfortunately it's not like this anymore in Camas, but when I grew up there in the 80s and 90s, that rink was full every single night. They would have 6,000 people in there for every single game, and especially in the from the mid 80s through to 95 when they won their last Memorial Cup. The Blazers won so many games. You know, I always say to people, I was a kid, I would be 6, 7 years old, Memorial Arena, and they had Mark Recchi and Scott Niedermeyer and all these amazing players on the ice, and you'd almost never see a loss. In fact, you'd see blowout wins over and over and over again. And when you're a kid, that's what you want to see. You want to see your team win. And for me, it was almost like a, it was almost like a simulation where you're the home team never lost. And it really hooked me at a young age, just how special the environment is at a hockey game. And when I went, when I moved to Toronto to go to journalism school, I wanted to be a junior hockey reporter. I thought I was going to be, you know, one of the guys on the bus in Saskatoon or Red Deer or wherever. And then that was going to be my life. And things worked out a little bit differently, and I cover the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that's kind of what the Blazers mean to me. They mean a lot, and I can't wait till they get back to the Memorial Cup. And I can't wait until they win it, because I'm going to be there.
Awesome. Well, I also, I've maybe not met you, James, but I've been following you a long time. I also know that you've fought for everything. You're a fighter and a winner. But I will say this, just as I let you go, if I can, more junior hockey coverage, more CFL coverage on The Athletic, and I'd be the happiest guy in the world. Fair?
I would love for us to have full-time people covering those leagues and those teams. And, you know, we've, today, or this year was a start. We've got Scott Wheeler full-time as kind of a prospects writer for us in Canada, but I think junior hockey will be the next domino for us for sure when hockey comes back.
Anything else, guys?
That's great.
We're good. James, appreciate the time as always. Keep it up, and here's hoping sooner than later the boys are back on the ice.
Thank you.
All right, James Myrtle from The Athletic joining us from Toronto today. So that was enlightening.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware about that European hockey thing.
That came out yesterday. I saw it. You know, the guys like Pedersen, the Swedes are able to be on the ice. The arenas are open. So they're out practicing, they're playing, and they're staying in game shape or as close to game shape as you can be without playing games. And in North America, the arenas are shut down. And when it comes to the NHL, in North America, they're not allowed on the ice unless they're rehabbing an injury. And they need to be on the ice to rehab an injury, then I think they're allowed to find a piece, a sheet of ice that, you know, appeals to social distancing and all that stuff. But in Sweden, they're allowed to be on the ice. And the players, it's not sitting well with them right now because they see the competitive advantage.
Sports update on this Wednesday morning. Pro women's hockey is set to make its return to Canada, with the National Women's Hockey League officially announcing it is expanding into Toronto. The yet-to-be-named franchise has an ownership group headed by former Harvard captain Johanna Boynton, features former Brown University coach Margaret Digit Murphy as its president, and already has 5 players under contract, the NWHL said in a 3-page release this morning. The Toronto team increases the U.S.-based NWHL's number of franchises to 6 and comes a year after the Canadian Women's Hockey League folded after 12 seasons because of financial instability. Players ejected from college football games for targeting will be allowed to remain on the sidelines, the NCAA announced Tuesday. The Playing Rules Oversight Panel approved the rules change, no longer requiring players to head to the locker room after targeting is confirmed. All other aspects of the rule discouraging above-the-shoulders contact remain the same. Now listen to this. The panel also approved a pace of play guideline for instant replay officials to complete video reviews in less than 2 minutes.
Whoa.
This is a college football. Reviews that are exceptionally complicated or involve end-of-game issues should be completed as efficiently as possible without a stated time limit. I've long said this. Pro sports has just screwed everything up so bad. Go to what college is doing. That's like the baseline, you know, for what should be called, what's challengeable, what's not, how long it should take, targeting. They got the best rules.
Yeah.
College football, my opinion, Don't at me. BC Lions made it official. They've signed kicker Sergio Castillo to a one-year deal. Castillo was a divisional all-star and also spent 2020 in the XFL with the Houston Roughnecks. That is your morning sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store serving Vern's Pizza. Takeout and delivery 4 till 9. Go to the Tap's Facebook page for their full menu. And also for Red Bull Canada. Red Bull is launching a new Peach Edition, which is exclusively available at 7-Eleven and Loblaws Superstore and No Frills. Red Bull gives you wings. And one of our viewers in New Orleans, Louisiana. Did you see that? Clark took a picture in, I don't know what store it was in, of his Peach Red Bull. Did you see that?
I saw it.
New Orleans. So they're buying it. It works. So on the players thing, I want to clarify this too, by the way. So John Kirby sending us the link to that article. I don't believe anywhere in that article did it say the commissioner saying the CFL is going to an 8-game schedule beginning in September. I do believe that's one of the options, but they've got every option on the table. They haven't elected anything. They haven't been able to make a decision yet. But it's fair. Henry Burris came out somewhere and said, players, why would they come up to Canada to play for only 8 games? This is going to obviously wreak havoc on the Players Association and all of that. That I get. But having said that, Sergio Castillo signs with the BC Lions. Jalen Saunders signs with the Ottawa Redblacks. Guys are still going to sign, and I think that Henry knows the players better than I do. He was one for a long time. But Henry, don't forget, don't discount how badly guys want to play. You know, if the NHL says, hey, they lost, half the broadcasters just threw up their hands and said, screw it, I'm done. You think I wouldn't go up and call games in July and August?
Right.
It's the same thing. These players will come up and play. Now, does it make it a buyer's market or a seller's market? I'm not sure. I'm not good at real estate. But you know what I'm saying. Does this favor the players? This favors rookie players, not vet players, maybe.
Yeah, I would. I'd be okay with that.
There's more guys willing to play a half a season than you'd think.
Yeah, because they know if at their prime or when they're young, if they don't get into the league and they don't get a shot to play and make their mark, they may never get it. Doors only open for so long. So it's a little bit of, I better step through this right now, take my chance, invest in myself, and the money will come once we start, you know, get back to normal and once I prove that I can play. So the proven guys who want the big salary, who have earned the big salary, it's a little, maybe a little tougher for those guys. But Jalen Saunders is a big name. He played pretty well. He can be a star in Ottawa, and I'm sure he didn't come cheap, but it'll be interesting to know what those salaries were.
Interesting to see where it's going. And Nelson Hakowicz writes in and says, is some money better than no money? What EI policy does pro sports have in Canada, if any? You know, that's part of, you just said it. You'll do anything for a chance. I always wanted to be a broadcaster. I didn't want to be a player. I'd do anything just for the chance to get on the air and prove myself. You know, that's why I think when I said, I don't know why coaches and players and broadcasters call me, it's because whether the spotlight's on you, doesn't matter what you're doing. Everybody's looking at you. You're on.
Yeah, go.
Stop the puck, score the goal, kick the field goal, be entertaining, whatever. It's all the same. You just want the chance to prove yourself. And that's why I go out of my mind when I hear of junior hockey teams, particularly junior A, that can't fill a job because the pay isn't there. You know, nobody wants this job because it's not paying anything. I would have given an appendage to be the voice of the Weyburn Red Wings coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here is the players that just want a chance. And I'd love to have the opportunity to talk to Hank to see if that's what he meant, because Hank was one of those guys. But Hank's got a lot going for him.
Oh, yeah.
So Henry had a few other options besides the game of football. Maybe we should bring Hank on and talk about it. Can you put the Mike Lee comment up that just came in, Clark, if you don't mind? And by the way, Jack Fulton in Calgary says 8 games are far better than 0 games. Players need to play and need the dollars. From our viewer, Mike Lee, Mighty L Mike, he says, I don't know, Henry Burris, and I acknowledge that he knows more than I do, but I suspect most starting quarterbacks would play 8 games before they let their backup have that time to prove themselves. I shouldn't paraphrase or speak for Hank, but he basically said this will be a problem because players are going to say, is it worth it to come to Canada for half a season? And I'm sure he's right. I'm saying those are vet players or name players. I think the rookies, they'll come if they can get in.
Yeah, and just remember, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways where, okay, I'm going to play for nothing or play for a little bit right now because I want the opportunity and I have to play. I need to get paid. My family needs to get paid. They need to eat. You can't have that. And if the league explodes and fan bases are big, get paid all your money that you're worth either. You get one or the other. You can hold out because you're worth six figures or more and hopefully get that or not. Or you can take the money and make sure you get paid. It's the one thing it's not being talked enough about in the Bulls documentary, Scottie Pippen. $18 million over 7 years. The total amount of the deal when MJ's making 33 a year and he was 122nd or 25th, whatever it was, ranked player in the league based on salary and was probably the second best player in the NBA. Well, he said it right at the beginning. He's like, I needed to take care of my family. They needed money. I needed to make sure that everybody got paid. So I signed this deal guaranteeing me $18 million over 7 years. And then all of a sudden, he's the second best player in the league, and he's now the 120-something most paid player. And it's like, hey, I deserve more money. Can't have it both ways. You want to take the security and get these guys paid? Or do you want to bank on you being a star and risk that you might get hurt and not make $18 million?
Anybody that hasn't seen it, you got to go on Netflix and watch the first two episodes of The Last Dance documentary on the Chicago Bulls for exactly what you're talking about. The owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, being interviewed now, says, I tried to talk Scotty out of signing that contract back in the early 90s, and I'm watching it going, you're lying! There's no way. I don't believe that.
And then later, Scotty decides to get the surgery towards the end of the year or the beginning of the year, whatever.
And then it turns sour.
Yeah.
That's all. And that's why that's the shift in my life. I'm now pro player and coach, not pro management and owner. I spent decades as pro owner management. I'd rather be on the players and coaches side. Do we have Lumby? What's the word? We do? You're working on it? Okay. WHL Draft Day, by the way, we're going to be joined with the president of the Regina Pats coming up. We had questions coming in from our viewers about that SJHL simulation. Some are saying, is it pre-taped? And one of our, the comment slipped off the screen here, but from Bryn, who informed us after the show yesterday that he's a child of the 80s, said that they will be live. The games will be live. And there will be play-by-play commentary of these SJHL playoff games on the way to the Canal to Cup.
Our intern, Alan, this is something you got to learn in the internship program. And since you're not here to learn it, we got to teach you when you're on the screen. The comment was something along the lines of, hey, are these going to be taped so that you can add commentary? We don't need to see what happens in scripted. We actually call it live.
That's what it's going to be.
That's what commentary is, right?
It's not taped. It's going to be live.
Yeah.
On the way today, our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, Three Down Nation's John Hodge, and our NFL insider, Tory Gurley. We have to break. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday morning, episode 218, coming at you on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Castle Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, thanks for joining us for coffee, everybody, on this Wednesday morning. I was just reading Surfing Insta in the break, and our buddy, the sports doctor, he always makes me laugh. Over in Winnipeg, he put a meme up here on Insta. He goes, so tired of the barrage of bad news. Please brighten my day by posting a picture of the front and back of your credit card. Like, there is some funny stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
And that if your life's not in a crisis right now and the worst part of your life is having to stay home, hopefully you are finding some humor in it.
Yes.
By the way, we're awaiting Regina Pats president and co-owner Todd Lombard, former Pats goaltender, by the way. We're having some connection issues, and the boys are telling me that we'll bring him on by the phone if all else fails. But I will just say this. My wife and I last night, she didn't want me to bring it up on the show. I know she's watching right now, but I got to bring it up, don't I?
Strategic move.
To bring it up or not bring it up.
I like it. Let's go. Because you put it out on your social media yesterday.
It's already out there, so yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
We pulled up to, well, nobody knows what the argument was about. We got in a fight last night, and I put on social media, I said, I just agreed with my wife, and it started a fight.
That's what we've come
this
to.
This is what it's come to.
Yeah.
The hashtag stay home. And what happened was we pulled up to London Drugs, and she goes, people are going to think I'm an idiot. And I went, yep. And she's like, you don't even know what I was going to say. I said, does it matter? And then the fight was on, like, all night.
And then
you don't even, so you, she thought I was saying that she's an idiot. And I said, you said you're an idiot. I'm just agreeing with you. She didn't see that as a good thing.
I got no comment.
You have nothing to say?
I'm Switzerland. I'm neutral.
Our intern, Alan, says Dr. Phil, a.k.a. Rod Peterson. Let me just roll that back. We roll up. She says, oh, people are going to think I'm an idiot. Yep. That was the look. You've probably seen that look from her.
I have.
I'm like, wait, what? You said it. I'm disagreeing. And all it was the way she was dressed. She was wearing leggings and a bunny hug. She wasn't exactly wearing her Sunday best. She's like, people are going to think I'm an idiot dressed this way. Yep. Would it have been that bad?
No.
Holy smokes. I never had so much problem getting on a guy.
So
we can bring on a guy from Norway.
Yeah.
And it's clear as a bell. We can't get a guy on from South Regina. Not our thing. I'm talking about internet. I don't understand how it works, but
I struck out.
I've never understood it.
I struck out yesterday. It was so nice out yesterday. So I took a walk from South Regina all the way down Albert because I was driving home from the show and I saw all these local coffee shops were open. Good Earth had the open light up.
But not come in and sit down.
French Press. No, of course not. French Press had the open light on. It's curbside, so you can order and they'll bring it right to the curb. French Press, and then I saw the Starbucks in the grocery store was open too. I knew that. So I went for a long walk, had to mail some stuff, and I get all the way to Good Earth, closed. Actually, wasn't open. go to French Press, closed at 3 o'clock. It's like 3:05. I hit four places. They're all closed just after 3 because they're such shorter hours. But it's nice to see that some of the local places at least are providing curbside pickups. So you can go there, order what you want, get it on the curb. So it's good.
Yeah. Everybody writing in. Now I'm getting... Man, maybe I know why she didn't want me to talk about it, because it made her look bad. Now people are saying, not too supportive, Rod. Mike Lennox says, can we just not see the humor in things? That's really all that I was doing. Can we not have a laugh?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. Well, I have my notes here, so until we can bring on Todd Lumbye. Oh, they tell me that he'll be ready right away. Well, let me just say this, and you guys tell me in my ear won't be here. I'm excited because the center of the junior hockey universe, which it used to be, was Regina, Saskatchewan. Now with Connor Bedard, it's back for at least the next 3 years. This will be the center of the hockey junior hockey universe. Will be right in our backyard, and I'll only have to drive 5 minutes to get to the rink to watch the games. And we've got him now, Pat's president, Todd Lumbye, on a very exciting day. Lumbye, appreciate your patience in coming on with us and doing it by phone. I guess, first of all, how are you feeling right now with Connor Bedard signed and pretty much delivered?
Yeah, well, it's really exciting, Rod. I'm very excited for our whole organization and our fans. I mean, this is a really pivotal time for the Regina Pats, and due to lots of hard work from John and our team, you know, this day came to fruition. So I'm very excited about it, and I think our fans are just going to be super excited to watch this young man play, and also to just what this can bring to our franchise in the years to come.
Do you think your fans or this town understand how big a deal this is? I'll say it again for those that don't know. We have to say it 100 times before they get it. First ever exceptional player in Western Hockey League history. In the O, John Tavares and Connor McDavid have had it. Do people understand yet, Todd, how big this is?
I don't know for sure. I mean, it's hard to kind of fathom the significance of it, really. I mean, to have the first exceptional player ever in the Western Hockey League to be a Regina Pat, and just such a great young player too. So we get it to see him a year earlier than we normally would in this case. And I think if folks aren't fully grasping it right now, they will in the days and weeks and months to come, because you already see all the ripple effects from such a thing happening to your organization, and I think that's just going to keep on happening. So it's an exciting time, that's for sure.
Chad Stallard, one of our viewers, writes in and says, can someone explain quickly what the exceptional player means? And what that means is that he can come in a year early as a 15-year-old, Chad, and nobody's ever been given this before. As Lumbye knows, you might have played against some guys that have been 15 before in the dub years ago, but now not exceptional player status, coming in a year early ahead of their 16-year-old year. Lumbye, you mentioned the ripple effects. I'm guessing you're saying spike in season ticket sales, that kinds of thing. That's what I'm seeing on Facebook. People have been running down and getting their season tickets. Is that what you're referring to? And what else is there besides that?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things. I think it's going to really make people interested in the Regina Pats. It's just a great news story, but also just so many things, like the players that we'll be able to attract that will want to play with a young talent like that. We've already seen that happening, where we're getting calls from different organizations, different scouts or different agent groups saying, you know, our player wants to play with Connor Bedard. We hope you'll draft him, or we want to let you know that this is such an exciting time that our players, you know, would come and play in Regina if he was lucky enough to get drafted by you guys. So there's just things like that that are happening, that something like this just opens up a great deal of a great number of doors for an organization. It's even more than I expected, just the buzz around it, and it's very exciting for us.
One of our viewers, Nelson Hakowicz, writes in and says, I was shocked the announcement was not on the Hockey Insider segment on SportsCenter last night. Well, Nelson, they did it 2-3 weeks ago on TSN when Connor got the exceptional player status and then the Pats won the draft lottery. TSN was on this weeks ago. So that's the thing. You got to pay attention. It's that big a deal. And the national media is paying attention to Regina. That's why I'm so excited, because it's right in our backyard. Now, about the kid himself, Todd, you already give him number 98. We've had him on this show. I can't believe how mature he is for 14. What's been your experience with him?
Yeah. Everything I've seen and heard, I haven't met him or talked to him myself, but just from everyone that I've talked to in our organization that has met him, and then watching him on the various interviews that he's done, you can tell he is a level-headed, mature, young guy. And I think the biggest thing for us is, well, beyond his obvious talent, is just his dedication to hockey. Our guys just continuously talk about how hard he works, how focused he is, everything from the way he eats to the way he trains. He's just ahead of his time in terms of his maturity levels in so many areas, and that's why he's so advanced at such a young age. He's just put a lot of work and effort into it, and of course, natural talent. So he seems like he's very well adapted to having a bit of a spotlight on him, because I think he has had that in a big part of his hockey career so far. Probably nothing to this extent, but I was even talking to some of our training staff guys today, and they've been talking to him and getting his equipment ready for him, and just saying, just a wonderful kid to talk to, mature. One guy said he reminds me of Sam Steele, just the way he carries himself. So lots of good things on that side as well. Sounds like he's a fine young guy.
Jason from Red Deer's watching. He says, I'm excited to watch this kid, and I'm not even a Pats fan, because this guy's a Rebels fan. But I get it. He's going to be filling rinks everywhere he goes. I mean, I can see what's coming. I'm just trying to explain to everybody else what's coming. Anything else, Todd, before we let you go?
Well, I just want to reiterate, as I've heard you saying too, Rod, on your show, just how exciting this is for Regina. And, you know, it's exciting for the Western Hockey League as a whole, but so exciting for our fans. I know in 2017, 2018, we had a couple of really strong years here, and we filled our rink, and there was so much excitement around the Pats, and our fans have stuck with us the last couple of years. Haven't been as strong, but with an announcement like this and with some momentum happening again, it's going to be a really exciting time for the Regina Pats and their fans. So we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Pats are going to be in the news year-round. It's everything that we want. So, Lumby, thanks for everything. All you've done for the franchise and done for us, I appreciate it. And good luck and stay safe, my friend.
Yeah, you too, Rod. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Todd Lombard, Regina Pats co-owner and team president, joining us on the program today. Well, the Brady comment about the video game trophy, I don't want to let the hour go without commenting on that. But one of the viewers, John, writes in, says, why would the CHL let another 15-year-old in after what happened in the OHL? How many games can Connor play since being only 15? You got to go read up on it. He can play the whole year. He can play 68 games. And as far as 15-year-olds versus 20-year-olds, doesn't make me happy. It's boys against men.
But that's the exceptional status.
That's, yes.
And it's a very, very thorough process. Very thorough. That's why it doesn't happen. That's why it's never happened in the Western Hockey League, ever. And there's been so many great players who have come in, but there's so much that has to go into it. Your mental maturity, physical maturity, your skill set, all of these things are happening. And it's a Hockey Canada thing. They don't take this lightly. There's interviews. There's the whole process. There's testing. There's reference checks with scouts and coaches and family and everything else. The family has to want to do it as well. The player has to want to do it also. So it goes through all of this. And if they deem that this kid at 15 in the Western Hockey League is as mature and physically ready and mentally ready and talented enough as a 16 or 17-year-old who's already in the league, then they let him play. That's why it's so rare. It's so rare. But you're right. There is a big discrepancy. There has been some instances. But usually, when you get drafted, you're only allowed to play just a few games in your 15-year-old year, he's allowed to play a whole season.
I think it's five.
Yeah.
Until your season's up, and then you can play the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Jack in Calgary writes in, says, thank you to the RP Show for broad sports coverage. Personally, I haven't followed the WHL since back in the late 80s and early 90s when my friend Mark Gregg was starring for the Lethbridge Hurricanes, who was on the show yesterday. Jack says, I'm now getting back into the WHL. Thanks, Rod Squad. Get it. I get it. And what I love, too, is the junior hockey guys are now becoming CFL fans, like Paul and Red Deer.
Yep.
They're watching because we're talking about it. So to end hour one, and we have a lot more football on hour two, but the poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, is it right for the SJHL to award the Canalta Cup off of a PS4 simulation? 90% of you on Twitter saying no. It's not right. 10% saying yes. Very similar results on Facebook. What is it? 88% say no. And that would have been me until the SJHL explained it to me. But Brady's comment, would you mind throwing that up if you guys can? Brady in Saskatoon's watching with his take, and it's not uncommon. It's what a lot of people are saying. I know you're going to have to go back and find it, Clark, and I apologize for that. He basically saying that it's wrong. But if you put an asterisk beside it, and we all remember in 2020, this is why here it is. Brady says, who would have ever think it's right for a league to award a trophy off of a video game simulation? That's wrong. Video games are not realistic. Answer to your poll question. Well, Brady, thank you for your opinion. And I can speak for the SJHL by saying, thank you for your opinion. We're doing it anyways. They've got sponsors to appease. They want to create some excitement. SJHL's been hoofed in the cojones enough the last few years. They're like, we're moving ahead with it. It's going to be fun. And our league governors have voted in favor of handing out the trophy based on this. So what the hell? They're doing it.
It's not going to go in the records, and they're not going to hang a banner for it or consider it the same as any other league championship, I don't think. At least I don't see the teams doing that. It's meant to be fun. They're going to hand it out for fun to keep everybody engaged and have a good time, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, lighten up, everybody.
But we need to separate it from thinking that the history and the integrity of the trophy, it's not the same. We're going to do this for fun. We're actually going to let them hang on to the trophy for the summer and make it, you know, like they won it because they did in the semi. But it's not the same in the record books, I don't think.
By the way, Canalta Hotels, for which the trophy's named, are on board with it.
They love it.
What more do you need?
Yeah.
Boom. What was that Swift Current Broncos pick, can I mention? For our, where are the Swift fans at? Swift Current Broncos used the 21st overall pick to acquire Brady Burney of Regina in round one of the Western Hockey League draft. Next hour, our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, talking about Gronk to Tampa. The draft starts tomorrow. Three Downs, John Hodge, with all the CFL news that's coming up. Thanks for joining us this morning, everybody. It's Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You need to adapt, and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall, we're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the fifth anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body.
Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.